Thank you. Okay. We got a Charlie next?
Yep. All right, everyone. Thank you for your patience. It was important that we spend some time working through that. I'd like to start with, before we get into the rest of the business agenda, honoring the passing of Charlie Fortenbacher. I'd like to read his obituary. His services were today. Charles Frank Fortenbacher, electrical contractor, Lebanon Township resident. Charles Frank Fortenbacher, 61, passed away on December 1st, 2022 at his home in Lebanon Township, New Jersey. Charlie grew up in Basking Ridge and was a graduate of Ridge High School, class of 1979. Charlie began working as an electrician for Basking Ridge Electric in 1979, a business started by his grandfather. He took over the business in 2015 upon the passing of his uncle Frank and Sita. Anyone who knew Charlie knew his passion for his family above all else. He cherished his time hosting holiday dinners, summer barbecues, and trips to the Jersey Shore. Being on the Lebanon Township Park Committee was one of his greatest joys. As I understand, he spent 14 years as a driving force of building our park, and is going to be greatly missed for that. He also, in the past year, joined our Board of Adjustment, so he was a real volunteer, a real asset to the township. He could always be found volunteering his services, whether electrical, cooking, or selling tickets at the park. Charlie was predeceased by his father, Charles, and is survived by his three daughters, Caitlin, Megan, Melissa, and his mother, Carmen, brother, Craig, as well as his longtime companion, Joanne, nephews, Connor and Zachary, as well as his many nieces, nephews, cousins, aunts, and uncles, along with his dog, Bongo. He leaves behind many friends who he always enjoyed spending time with all year long. Memorial donations may be made to Friends of Memorial Park. So Charlie will be very much missed, and our condolences to his family and all his friends. That takes us on to, unless anyone has any other comments, on to the agenda items. First agenda item will be presentation of minutes. First, then, is the October 5th, 2022 minutes, which I asked to have tabled a meeting or two ago. I sent to the clerk some issues that I had with the minutes, and I proposed amendments to that. That's been passed along to the whole committee. So I was wondering if there would be a motion to approve the minutes as amended in my proposal.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second? I'll second the motion. So the motion, is there a discussion on approving the minutes as amended in the proposal that the committee has in front of them? If there's no discussion, roll call?
No.
Yes.
No.
And yes. So we deadlock on that. Unless there's any discussion, we can table them for a future meeting. Hearing no discussion, we will table those minutes. Then we have the minutes of the October 19th, 2022 minutes and the executive session from, October 19th executive session and regular meeting minutes. Is there any discussion on that set of minutes? Is there a motion to accept those 2 minutes?
Let me just ask Karen, did we change that word?
Yes.
So it's in here, okay. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular and the executive sessions of October 19th, 2022.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. That takes us to public comment limited to agenda items only. Is there a motion to open to public comment for agenda items?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment for agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, if anyone would like to make a comment on the agenda items, please come forward to the microphone. Seeing no one coming forward, is there a motion to close the public comment?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Takes us then to Resolution 99, 2022, titled Chapter 159. Township received a grant, a recycling tonnage grant, in the amount of $3,972.03. The procedure to get that recognized in our budget is the Chapter 159 resolution. So what this resolution does is it recognizes that grant revenue as $3,972 and also establishes an offsetting appropriation so that it's used for recycling purposes, and that is the effect of this resolution. Any discussion by the committee?
I do have a question. I realize this is being switched around as far as money is concerned, but it brings up an issue of the recycling itself. I use the recycling. I notice a lot of things, the rules are not being followed. People are stuffing boxes in there that are not crushed down, usually by Saturday or Sunday or Monday at the latest. It's so full you can't even put anything in it. So I think somebody down the line here needs to check into that and make sure that the rules are properly enforced. I've also seen people's names in there that do not reside in the township on some of the labels. So we've got people outside the township using the recycling bin, or at least they're getting hold of their garbage and putting it in their recyclable material.
So noted. Any other discussion on the resolution 99-2022? And I forgot. Was there a motion?
No.
Okay. Is there a motion for resolution 99-2022?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Unfinished business. Proposals for appraisal services. At our September 21st meeting, the committee agreed to or authorized the submission of pre-appraisal questionnaires to Green Acres for two lots, both in Block 49. One is Lot 72, which is 47, 48 acres along Anthony Road. The other is Lot 89, which is 18 acres off of Shady Lane Private Drive. Green Acres reviewed the submission of various materials. Those materials were then sent out to four different appraisal companies. I should note that New Jersey Water Supply Authority has agreed to pay half the appraisal costs. So the lowest combination of appraisal proposals for the larger lot, the 47 or 48 acre lot, requires two appraisals. That's Lot 72. Lot 89 requires one appraisal, or an appraisal update, actually. So the lowest cost would be to award to the Norm Goldberg Appraisal Company the update appraisal on Lot 89 and the appraisal for Lot 72 for a total cost of $3,700, and the Webb appraisal firm in Phillipsburg for Lot 72 at $1,900 for a total cost of $5,600 for the Green Acres required appraisals on those two lots. Any discussion from the committee?
If they're all qualified to make the appraisals, and the Goldberg firm appears to be the lowest?
The Green Acres requires us to use companies that are off a Green Acres approved list, since
all three of these are.
All three obviously of these are. And the plan, the fourth one as well, which I wasn't able to make a proposal because they're over too much business going on into the next few months, so they weren't able they didn't make a proposal.
I was amazed at this differential. The one here is $9,000 versus $3,700.
Yeah.
You get the same product for less money. I'd be willing to make a motion to award this to Goldberg.
With Goldberg and Webb. One appraisal for Lot 72 for $1,900 from Webb Appraisal, and then appraisal for Lot 72 and appraisal for Lot 89, combined cost of $3,700 for a total cost of $5,600. This would be paid, as I said, half by New Jersey Water Supply Authority, half out of our open space funds, and the plan would be that this would qualify us to use the existing Green Acres grant that we have for 50% of a potential purchase price, which is not being authorized here. We don't know the price yet. And then the intention would be to pursue a grant from Hunterdon County for as much of the other half of that as we could get.
So it's $5,100 for Goldberg for both?
$3,700. There are three, you'll see three. One is for assuming each appraisal
individual.
Gets individual, and then there's one if they assume that they get both. Since they're in the same lot, there'll be a lot of crossover analysis. So Goldberg, $3,700 is the lowest price for both, and then Webb at $1,900 is the lowest price for the other standalone.
You didn't say both.
Where did I say both?
On Webb.
He's getting the one for lot 72.
See. Okay.
I get it.
I'm sure you do.
You have to look at them because sometimes it's like you're looking and it looks like they're duplicates, but they're really not. There's like one lot change.
There's two and there's one and one and
yeah,
two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It took me a while, but I got it eventually.
Let's stick by the motion. And $3,700 seems to be reasonable.
Should we do it in two motions? Do you want to do first?
And then the Webb appraisal?
Webb? Okay, so
yes,
first motion
that.
Would be to Goldberg for both lot 72 and 89 for $3,700. That's the motion in front of us now. Is there discussion or a second?
Second.
Is there any further discussion or a roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then the motion second would be to
Webb.
For Webb appraisal for lot 72 at a cost of $1,900.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
And second. Is there any discussion or roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next, under new business, we have a proposal from Lisco Environmental. We've had for many years before I was on the committee a environmental issue at Fire Station 1 located at 143 Anthony Road. We are now in the tail off phase of environmental inspections, really. So this proposal from Lisco Environmental is for a remedial effectiveness site inspection, completion of the remedial action protectiveness biennial certification form for soil and the submittal of the same to the NJDEP on or before January 31st, 2023 at a lump sum cost of $1,900. Is there any discussion or a motion?
What was the original contaminant? Was it gasoline or was it oil?
I believe it was gasoline.
That's probably why it's going on
exactly.
For years.
Exactly.
It's hard to get rid of that.
Yep.
Oils and
I different. Believe we capped the inspection or the wells that were put in to monitor, the monitoring wells, I believe, were capped. We're really in the final stages now.
So what is it, every 2 years we have to do this?
I don't know for how much longer, but yeah.
I was wondering.
Probably in accordance with that state remedial plan.
Yeah.
Probably requires it 2 years and report it to the environmental protection people.
Maybe once you get clean reads after
a
certain amount of
time. I just don't know that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had one time where we kept out $15,000, and when they got the last payment, all of a sudden the pollution was gone.
Yeah.
Figure that one out.
Mm-hmm. So any discussion or a motion to approve the Lisco proposal?
Okay. I make a motion to approve the Lisco proposal.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we have the police chief request to purchase a Dell laptop for the new vehicle that was recently purchased. The price of the item is $1,034.27, and it is purchased through the Dell National Cooperative Purchasing Alliance, NCPA, under a master agreement. Is there any discussion on the police proposal for a laptop?
Karen might probably know the answer to this. Karen, is with these, if they're purchased under the co-op, then right now INTREP takes care of any problems that happen with the police computers, or is it on some kind of a separate agreement?
I'm not sure how the chief works that.
All right, so because I have to work that up when I
do
my
I'm not quite sure.
IT. All right, I'll look into it.
When you say problems, you're talking about warranty?
No, I'm talking about if there's a problem with the computer, there's a problem with something on the computer. Usually we have Cameron from Intrep come down and work on the computers, and he bills us. But, you know, we're working on a transition with all of that, so I just needed to know how it...
I would think it would go over to whoever the IT provider or service provider...
I mean, it's probably under a warranty. I wouldn't be surprised if they have for a year at least before you'd have to even do something like that, but I don't want to assume anything.
But your point for software configuration and things wouldn't be under the warranties.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's true.
That's all the hard part of the computer, which give you a one-year warranty, and after that it'll fail.
Any other discussion or a motion to approve purchase of the laptop?
That's the way it is. I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of the computer from Dell for $1,034.27 for the police department, which I understand is going in the new vehicle.
Yep. Is there a second?
I'll second.
If there's no further discussion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we have a request from the fire department for a so-called red and/or siren permit. Tom, do you want to give any background?
Well, you know, I haven't really had a chance to follow up with this. Historically, we have not done this, but the chief does not see a problem with it. But I haven't talked to him what it really means for the red light.
I had a chance to ask. Basically, it's limited to a chief or deputy chief by regulation. It does not give them any additional. Wouldn't give a person any additional rights than the blue light. So it's not like a police. It's not like a police car that can exceed and exceed speed limits. Like I said, it's still held to the speed light. It's more of a courtesy when they're showing up at a scene that they're identified then as a chief or deputy chief. And the chief had no hesitation to endorse this individual for getting a... Kyle Prizzoli.
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 Who is our deputy chief. And so this would give him a red light.
He's a good guy, and he put forth a lot of effort in our rescue services and fire here.
Yeah, he does.
And also with the fundraising with the Fireman's
Carnival.
Festival, he's yeah. And my issue went away because look what's attached.
Oh,
registration.
Because you had to know what vehicle it was for, and it
right.
didn't show it on the cover page. So now there's a backup sheet on this one. So that's
brand new 2021 Ram.
So any discussion, or would there be a motion to approve the red light siren permit?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then a proposal from Canon Solutions for the municipal office copier machine lease renewal. If you had a chance to compare, somewhat remarkably, getting a new copier reduces the monthly cost from $215.27 a month to $207. The former contract had overages for black and white copies kicked in at $5,000. Now it kicks in at $6,000. And the click rate, as they call it, for color is lower by about 20% from the old lease under a special promotion expiring December 20th, 2022. So our old copier lease is running out. The clerk has received this proposal, and we need a copier. Any discussion on the copier proposal?
It's a 60-month lease. It apparently includes auto supply replenishment, all toner, waste toner, parts, labor, maintenance, Canon services, IT help desk, Canon e-learning portal, all included at no additional cost for the full five-year period. Are there any exceptions to that contract?
I don't know. Karen, do you know if there's... The guy's asking if there's any exceptions outside of the services that are included in the proposal.
That's all I've received.
But I assume it's similar to what we've had. It's the same company. It's the same... It's an upgrade of an existing copy.
They're very responsive and they're good to work with.
Okay.
Any other discussion, or is there a motion to enter a new lease agreement with Canon Solutions of America?
I'll make that motion to enter into a lease agreement with Canon Solutions of North America for the printer for the municipal staff.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Which takes us to presentation of vouchers.
I have one here for Spartan Kiefer for General Matters for October 2022 for $2,479.17. I have one here for Lebanon Township Board of Ed for December 2022 school taxes for $1,110,860.50. That's all I have.
I have New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan premiums for December, total $52,261.76. State of New Jersey Division of Employer Accounts, so-called reimbursement billing on pension issues, $6,927.20. County of Hunterdon, third quarter health inspection fees of $1,550. Power DMS, which is software used by our police department, annual subscription and training totaling $3,835.79. Payment to Robbie Lynn Mwangi for the fourth quarter township newsletter preparation, $1,150. Payment to our planner, Kyle McManus Associates, out of the escrow account, the NAR escrow account, $1,263.80. And LMR disposal for the fall cleanup and other dumpster activity for $2,263.97.
I have C&M Auto Parts in Washington for batteries, refund of a core, antifreeze, front brakes, all automotive issues related to our Department of Public Works in the amount of $1,036.08. Griffin Automotive, Newtown, Pennsylvania, diagnostic scan of a machine. It says tool renewal, $1,999. Patriotic Office Cleaning for 13 hours, or is that 13 times? Quantity, it says unit.
I think they go by times.
Times, 13 times in the police department, 5 times in the library, 5 times in the municipal building, total $1,905. Warren Asphalt, $2,969.60. Again, another invoice, another bill from Warren Asphalt for asphalt, $2,915.03. And that's all I have.
I only have one that applies, and it's for Interrupt Solutions for IT work for setting up the deputy clerk's computer and hooking up the printers, and then also I think they plan, this says split LUB, I'm assuming they put land use board, probably means planning board, because I know they work on Gail's computer too, so with the travel time and the setup and the hooking up to the network, $1,665.
So the total voucher list is $1,216,417.34. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. A couple of items of correspondence. The museum curator's report. If there's anything to highlight.
Apparently at the museum is the current exhibit is featuring artwork by the Musconetcon Watercolor Group. That was through the end of November. There was a holiday open house and exhibit opening still to be held. That was Saturday, December 3rd. And it says Mitten Drive. Throughout the month of December, they will be collecting donations of new mittens, gloves, hats, and scarves to donate to those in need. And on Thursday, December 15th, from 3 to 7, kids' crafts and cookies. There's a half day of school, so it's the perfect day to bring the kids to the museum for some cookies, cocoa, holiday crafts, and pictures with Santa near their cozy fireplace.
Thank you. Second correspondence is from the New Jersey Department of Transportation grant award for $116,220 toward repaving of Mount Lebanon Road and Turkey Top Roads. This is at least the fourth year in a row that we've been getting significant DOT grants. Our DPW manager, Warren Gabriel, spearheads these and drives them with our township engineer to apply for these. So we've had very good luck, and obviously it's, you know, very meaningful for the township to get these grants. If there's no other business for the township, is there a motion to open to public?
Can I ask a question about where the grant is that was approved by the House of Representatives that we filed back in March that was supposed to be taken care of in the fall with the Senate?
I think it's in the Senate, and if you hear the news, there's talk of kind of a blowout spending plan coming in this lame duck session, and I believe that's when they would pass the House appropriated amounts, or that's when they reconcile those bills into a bill.
And we were in that.
We were in the House approved plan, and we were endorsed by both of our senators for $750,000 of road work. I believe we applied for 800 something, and it got rounded to 750 in the House.
House passed it.
The House passed it. The House side is done.
So now it's with the Senate?
Now it's with the Senate.
I have to call my good friend Cory Booker.
If there's no other discussion, we would open to public comment. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment for anything you want to talk about.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment, please come to the microphone.
Okay.
Oh, nope. There's one woman in the back.
Somebody's got to get up first.
Huh? I looked around. Bill Bone, Woodland Road. I'll just try to get through this stuff quick here. On the appraisal services, will the public have an opportunity to see the appraisals before they're enacted or voted on or whatever the case is?
Those will be public documents when they're received, so they'll be on the agenda for approval, and they would be operable prior to the meeting.
Is there a date range, or sometimes it'd be on the agenda with 48 hours, you don't have notice.
The date range of when we expect them back?
No, it's just the notice of when they're available. Have to keep checking.
Yeah, we do our best to get the agenda posted Friday before the Wednesday meeting. That's really kind of the lead time we get.
And do you know if the owners owned the property before 2004?
Yes, they both did.
Okay. Moving on to the request for the red and siren permit, mm-hmm. and I totally support the fire and police, of course. Is that a personal vehicle?
Yes.
Okay. So can you check into, unless the attorney knows or yourselves know positively that he's a volunteer?
Yes.
Can have a red color instead of the blue?
There's only two that can, the chief and a deputy. The first deputy chief. We can't have 10 people designated as deputies, so there's a total of two that fall into the category you're asking about.
Okay. In my past, it's...
Yeah, it's reserved for the, as the mayor indicated, for the two highest ranking officers in the squad, in the department.
Okay. Thank you so much. I just didn't know if things changed or anything there. I'm going to touch on two topics here. The first one, I know it's not the committee's issue, but there is two people from the planning board here. So I'm not looking for comments. I'm just going to address it. Last night we had spoken about, they're speaking about the professionals and displeasure with them. And the attorney getting additional monies for the anticipated litigation. I've gotten calls today where people basically are livid, and I'm trying to keep them on the wings and assure them, just let's wait and see what happens. that their taxpayer money is paying for these professionals. And they just basically said they won't rest until that's rectified. So hopefully that's addressed. And in reference to the attorney being involved with this litigation, they are like, you know, they're people, and even myself, is that that's got to be, I don't know where he gets involved with that, and it's got to be very limited and perhaps a third person be involved with that compared to being attorney at attorney. So that needs to be watched closely. Okay, I don't know how that's going to come out with the insurance company and all this other stuff, but you get my point. So I'm going to move away from that one. In reference to the joint insurance fund, and this is more for the public because I'm sure you guys are doing your due diligence, is that we don't run into the same problem that we had in the past, and the attorneys are vetted and we get the best one that's available to the township. And our residents deserve that, and our taxpayers deserve that to fight this litigation. We got to make sure there's no conflicts, and if they are, that it is brought up and put there, so it's brought up and recognized and worked through that. Got to have checks and balances. I said that before. And just like if you have a heart attack, you're going to go get, or you have some illness, you're going to get a second opinion. So hopefully, I don't mind my taxpayers' money being spent for a second opinion to make sure that everything is being done that can be done. So whatever happens with this, you can come back to the public and says, we did A, B, C, D. We did everything we could do, and this is where it's at. We won, whatever the case is. Because this isn't going to end. There's going to be more to it.
Maybe if I could just interject. You mentioned the statewide. Our insurance company is the statewide joint insurance fund, which is one of the handful of largest municipal insurance funds in the state. The president, the top executive from that was the person we met with here tonight. So we're getting the highest visibility. We're demanding it. We're getting it. And we're taking it very seriously.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and we're here to help you. We're here to support you, and we're here to make sure that that you're doing everything to make sure we didn't, every rock is turned over, and we covered ourselves to make sure we can have the best outcome that can happen.
Yeah.
Bill, could I ask you a question? What would you define as a conflict for the law firm?
What we're finding out, and what I found out through my own experiences looking for, is a lot of these. Face it, the cannabis industry's got a ton of money. This is the gold rush of New Jersey right now, and they're locking up a lot of these law firms to where they're hiring them to lock them up. And what I mean lock them up is they're hiring these firms so they can't go against them, and they're pulling the talent out. So if a firm supports or advocates for the cannabis industry, and now they're going to have somebody in that firm go the other side of it and push back against it, that's something to take in consideration. I don't know what your feeling is about that, but that's a concern on the layman's side, that feels like a conflict. But on the flip side of it, it's probably very difficult to find somebody who doesn't have that in a big firm.
That's like the same thing with land use. Most land use attorneys do municipal work as well as plaintiff's work.
Yep.
So they do both sides of the equation. And you're supposed to have the interest of the client at hand, whether you're representing the people that are pushing for marijuana or you're representing those municipalities that are opposing it. So it's not uncommon for law firms to play both sides of the
fence. That's why, as for this township, and that's why I'm talking about it, is that we just have checks and balances, and we make sure that they're doing 100%, to make sure they're not getting promised to go a little soft so they can make partner or whatever the case is. So we just have that checks and balances, another set of eyes on it. And if MICE tax money has to be paid to find to have a consultant to look at a piece of it and say, yeah, this is good, I give a couple of recommendations and sign off on it, that covers you and it covers us. So not, because most of us don't know about all this legalese stuff. But we need checks and balances. We just can't leave it up to one person doing this. And that's my take, but I'm getting a lot of feedback from people, and they're concerned about that. So we don't run into the problem that we had where we're only getting one side and that's it. So that's the main part with that. And so there's a couple of things, and I'm going to say these things, but I never thought I'd be saying stuff my parents said. It's called penny wise, pound foolish. And I think the other one was haste makes waste. And they still come true. And I'm sure you don't have to rush into these decisions. And if there's a deadline to respond to the complaint, the town's in a perfect position to ask for an extension. That there's, because of this transition going on and interviews and the holidays and all the other stuff going on, if that needs to be done, I recommend doing it. Don't be rushed to make a bad I'd rather have a good decision taking your time than have a rushed decision and not making sure you have all your ducks in line. So I'll leave it all at that, and thank you.
Thank you very much. There's a woman.
My name is Sharon Jackson on Red Mill Road. I just have a question, again, with regard to the business administrator. I'm trying to understand why it was important that the vote was for removal and not termination. What is the difference?
The vote was taken straight from the statute. So there's a statute that allows the removal of a business administrator. Does not require any cause when there's a supermajority vote. So it's just simply a recitation of the statute and the language required in there. The issue of termination involves other factors that the township committee did not have to address because of the specific position involved.
Does one or the other cause us to be more liable if she decides, or when she decides, well, she's going to sue us?
Yeah, I don't want to get into the likelihood of the suit and the outcome thereof. But again, the township committee had the discretion to take the action that they took, and they took action in compliance with the statute. So they followed the letter of the law to do what you said, which is put us in the best light in case there is a challenge.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other member of the public coming forward?
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Road. Now, you wanted to make changes to the minutes. Is that operable to see what your changes are with the original?
I assume my email's operable.
Now, draft minutes are not operable, but okay. They become a public record when they're voted on.
So we won't know what the changes are.
I assume this will be debated. The minutes aren't passed. They have to get passed. They'll be coming up at a future debate at some point.
Okay. Now, on the fire station, that's been going on for forever. And I thought the last time when Pat Shriver was on the board that we paid extra money to be able to come with a plan, like a 5-year plan, and that 5 years should have been up by now.
Yeah, I wasn't on with Pat Shriver, so I'm not an environmental expert. We hire environmental experts. They tell us what we have to do.
Because I thought we paid.
The state privatized this process. It used to run through the state. Now they force us to hire a licensed professional. So
licensed site remediation professional.
Correct. LSRP.
And then we paid extra money at that time for them to be, for us to get off of this. So does that mean that at the squad building that is done? Because there was a problem at the squad building too.
What was the problem there?
Yeah, I don't. There's that, nothing.
There was
pending.
Two places they were testing.
What? That was closed out.
Yeah, eventually you get a no action.
Yeah, probably it was underground.
They don't call it that anymore, but
the equivalent of a no further action letter.
Well, that NFA. That
we would have gotten there, but this one. And as Guy said, gasoline has chemicals that go far and deep, and that's what happened here.
Thank you.
But someday we won't be paying that once the deposits or whatever is in the ground.
Well, as I recall, when I first got on the committee, it was $5,000-$6,000 a year, and then now it's dropped down to $1,900. Yeah. So it's. Pardon me. That's where we're down to inspections. Yeah. The wells have been capped.
But they don't give us an ending.
Not.
Well, don't we get reports of what the inspection reveals?
Yeah, I'm sure we do.
I'm sure that there's some certain level of the chemical that's got to be below whatever the DEB standards are before they would close the site up and put the file away. So I'm sure that's operable, too, to see what the latest test results are and how long it's going to take. They estimate it would take before it's cleaned up to the point that satisfies the DEP.
Any other public comment? Seeing no one coming forward, is there a motion to close public comment?
Sorry.
Shannon Lang, River Road. Just a question. With the insurance fund, is that voluntary or is that mandated? How does that work? How do we participate in that?
We pay, off the top of my head, a couple hundred thousand dollars a year of premiums to join that and to be part of that. So I don't think we're required to have insurance, but
No, we're not. Some towns self-insure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's very prudent because one thing we all learn after being up here for a little while, as a government, we have almost unlimited taxing authority to the residents. So to protect liabilities that come out of nowhere from the residents, we have an insurance company in front of it.
Right.
I believe $16 million is the
policy limit.
Policy limit.
So our liability limit is $16
million? Yeah.
Okay. So when does that renew? Just curious.
Annually.
3 years.
Well,
But I don't know when.
Certain.
I'm trying to think when it was.
I think we're up in 2023.
A year from now?
Yeah. So we have a multi-year policy up for renewal, and we have a few potential claims. That's all I'm saying. Could we potentially be kicked out of this fund then?
We had this discussion in the back. The bottom line is it's risk, and it's spread across all the participants in the fund. So the only one I think that she indicated they didn't have was people from Cape May. So
yeah, I think there was. I said, what do you have? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
What do you like? She said usually because it's spread amongst everybody. I said, but there's a point where if you become a bad apple, for example, as a town.
Yeah.
And she mentioned there was a certain town, which I won't mention the name.
Good thing you don't mention that.
Yeah. I'm
because they'll sue us.
No, exactly. No, I knew better. But if you've got, they had a wayward police department or something.
Yeah.
And employee issues. And so it's kind of
okay.
So there's no indication that we're at risk of not being renewed.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was just curious.
Yeah.
I work for an insurance company,
so I
can tell. I don't think I'd renew us, to be honest.
I don't mean to make light of it, but if you read the newspaper in New Jersey, we're not bad.
No, but yeah, that's true.
Really,
we are New Jersey after all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you involved in claims at all?
I am. They have to be really big, though.
Okay. How many claims do you get for civil rights lawsuits, and how do they usually end up?
Well,
do we want to go here?
I don't think we do.
Yeah,
no.
Looking at the attorney to see.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to answer that question.
Yeah. We're in the news a lot too, so to be fair.
We have been lately too.
Yeah. And then the other thing I just wanted to say is, I hope that with the employees involved with the business administration suit, if anything comes forward with that in terms of a suit, I know there's not one, But I hope that there's a countersuit, because a video is worth 1,000 words, and lots of people have seen that. And I don't think that, you know, there's two sides to every story. So I would just hope that we would come back the other way as well. That's all I would say.
Keith Galloway, Mount Lebanon Road. For those that attended last night's planning board meeting, Bill had brought up a situation where the public kind of lost the trust. And to a degree, I'm sure that most of us feel that way. But I also have to look at the point that you, as members of your committees, I know you do this as a volunteer basis. And I know it's difficult because people like us are yelling at you, and probably some of you are saying, but I had nothing to do with that. But I appreciate the fact that you're willing to give of your time, and there's no greater time of the year to give thanks than right now, and I do appreciate your contributions to this township.
Any other public comment? Before he came in.
Darrell Schmidt, Musconetcon River Road. As I've said before at these meetings, I've lived here my whole life, and I get involved in coming to your meetings for a while, and then I don't come for a while, and then I come back. And lately, I've been coming back with a lot of other people. I just want to say, it's always been, over the years, public comment was public comment. Answers, questions were asked and answers weren't given, because that's the way public comment works. But this year you've made a change to where you're answering the public's questions in the public comment period. And I think I want to give a special shout out to the mayor. I think he's done. I've listened to what he's said. He's answered questions. I am amazed at his knowledge on a wide range of topics, spanning everything that could happen in the township. If he didn't know the answer, or he had to direct somebody to an official, he directed him to that official. I've also noticed him look into things and come back with a report on what he had found a couple of times. I was very amazed at his knowledge. I wouldn't have tried to answer that broad of a, wouldn't imagine being having to answer that broad of a spectrum. And I think you've done a good job in doing that. I don't know if public comment is going to remain question and answer with the new mayor, but good luck to whoever does it, because I think he's done a good job. Like I said, if he didn't know the answer, he directed the person, or if it wasn't his forte, to where to go. And even looked into some things. So I want to give you a shout out for doing a good job at that. I couldn't imagine trying to know all that information.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing no one else coming forward, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
I'll second the motion.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. We will be going into executive session under Resolution 100-2022, two personnel matters, one related to the zoning officer, one related to the head library clerk, and a tax litigation update related to Verizon. No action is expected after executive session. So at this time, we'll excuse the public, so we'll continue in here, since we'll have no action, I assume. No reason for people to stay. Oh, I'm sorry. Is there a motion for Resolution 100-2022?
So made.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Oh, yes.
Sorry.